public outcry for people who want a better planet. And there are powers that be that let their people panic. Look at the Gulf of Japan, could they have really planned it? Heading for the iceberg like the Titanic.
Atlantic mystery, Atlantis wife of mystery. The truth about the pyramids and ancient Mayan prophecy.
Space Odyssey, look into the anomalies, and you will find suppression of free energy technology.
A false democracy born out of a monopoly. Sacred knowledge robbery, like the towers they toppling.
No stopping free.
Jay Brain, Vito C.
Coming from the inner me.
Free energy. The oil's running dry.
Our money's burning out.
Solar panels on the roof of the White House.
Hey!
We bringing on some real change.
Water catchment system.
We collecting rain.
Shine together round.
Have you found yourself overcome with an absolutely irresistible urge to wash your potato? Are you looking out going, what the hell is going on out there? Trying to figure out this stuff and just, it's not making any sense. I've got this big puzzle I call life, and I just keep finding pieces here and pieces there, and I'm putting them together, I don't know. I guess we're in the right place to try to figure it out, because we're getting some really amazing people coming on to the 100th Monkey Radio Show with Tom and Ramon, and we are trying to find some of those pieces. So a couple things we want to touch on tonight real quick before we get going with our guests, and one of them is we do have some of the our little gig stick monkey thingamajiggers still up for sale. So, if you want one, pop over to the website. And
what do they get in that page. Really quick, Tom?
Yeah, we got all of the our first year plus, from November 17th all the way through the end of last year, all the audio is on there. Plus, we've got some all the video interviews that we did on there, and I'm actually threw on the both the PDF and the audio for the Book of Aquarius is on there too. So it's a screaming deal for $40, guys. So we've got a few left. So if you want them, let me know. We'll get them sent out to you. So what else, Ramon? What else is going on?
Let's see. We're on Facebook, Twitter. Tom, you have also the YouTube link. So if you scroll down, you'll find it, and you can click on that. We're also up to 100 countries listening to us.
Yeah. Yay.
And one of them is, let's see, we got Netherlands, Antilles, and Jersey. And we're not talking about New Jersey. Actually, it's south of England.
Yeah,
between England and France, isn't it?
I don't know. It's somewhere over there. Sorry for whoever it is that's listening from over there. I don't know where you're at. We poke around on the website. We've got a lot of interesting stuff on there. We've got some really amazing guests coming up, too, besides the one we have on tonight. We've got Marcia Schaefer that's going to be on next week, and then we've got William Buhlman, and Faustana will be – we had a couple of scheduling issues. He was supposed to be on this week, but we will be getting him scheduled back in. And then we're going to have Dr. Robert Foreman will be returning here in February. So got a lot of good stuff coming up. So tonight, who do we got, Ramon?
Tonight, we have Tom Lesher. Tom blends his rich intuitive insight with 30 years of astrological background to make each reading a life-changing event for his clients. His approach to healing spirit, mind, and body through emotional release and Kundalini yoga utilizes astrology as a healing art. In addition to personal readings, he brings astrology to everyone through the international lectures, experimental workshops, writing, and teachings. He is the author of The Pele Report, a weekly astrological YouTube forecast, and numerous magazines' online articles using yoga, meditation, and nature for self-renewal and natural laws as his guide. His work brings balance, love, and joy to others and the planet. And we have all the on our webpage. You can connect and find all his stuff. Tom, welcome to the show. Thank you for last minute.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for having me, Tom and Ramon.
Hey,
yeah, so we're gonna call this the Tom Tom Show.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Like that 80s group. You guys remember that? Tom Tom?
What was it? Yeah, there's drums named after us too.
That's right.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I never did quite understand is why they call it Peeping Tom. Why couldn't it be Peeping Ramon?
Yeah.
Are we going to spend the hour talking about that?
No.
Okay. All right, Tom.
So, Tom, you are, you know, I've been, for the last few months here, I came across you on YouTube, and I absolutely love your approach to astrology, the humor you put in it, and the insight. You seem to be hitting things right on the head. What actually interested you in astrology? What took you to down this path?
Well, it's about 35 years ago. I lived next door to an astrologer, and I was born on July 23rd, so I never really even knew before then whether I was a Cancer or a Leo, and I never paid any attention to it, you know. And my whole view was that you only go around once in life, so you should grab for all the gusto that you can. And then I lived next door to this fellow, and we actually did a little trade for a reading. And he looked at my chart and blew my mind, basically. I mean, he just told me that he told me about my physical health. He told me about my family, about my parents, about my girlfriend, about, you know, I had just crashed my motorcycle and I messed up my knee. He told me I was going to have problems with my knees. And, you know, it just really amazed me very much. And so after that, I went around and I started doing charts for everybody that I knew and everybody in my family. And my mind continued to be blown at the accuracy and at the, you know, the meaning, the deeper meaning to life events kind of became more clear for me all the time. So I've stayed with it for a long time now, and it never ceases to amaze me. I mean, every time it just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper, you know, because it's really the study of life.
Yeah. So is there one particular, I know there's a lot of different astrological traditions or methods that are used. Is there one in particular that you use primarily?
Well, there's two main schools that are the sidereal zodiac and the tropical zodiac. You know, the Vedic Indian astrologers use the sidereal, and the Western astrology is tropical, so I do the tropical. Within the tropical, there's a whole number of different schools, and what I can say is I've looked at the Uranian astrology, evolutionary astrology with Jeffrey Wolf Green. He was a good teacher of mine. And shamanic astrology with Daniel Giammario. He was another good teacher of mine. And I've pretty much just combined all of those different schools into my own, you know, it's just my own take on things now.
Right. So I know you can be really scientific about astrology, and you can go, you know, this planet is here and you have this aspect and all these different things that have a very set properties and rules about them, if you want to use the word rules. But how much does intuition play a part in actually forecasting?
You know, that a lot of that depends on the astrologer, you know, and that's what I always say to people, you know. It's not what kind of astrology, you know, or palmistry or iridology or tarot cards or tea leaves, you know, it's the astrologer. You know, so different astrologers will, you know, use different amounts of their intuition, and you've got mundane astrologers who don't use any intuition. I personally use astrology, you know, as a path to cultivate, verify, validate, and strengthen my intuition. So, you know, over the years, you know, I use my intuition more and more all the time.
Right, right. Yeah, that's kind of what I intuited would be your answer. Oh, geez. So, before we get into what the stars are saying about where we are currently in the world, I kind of like to understand a little about what's the shift from Pisces into Aquarius that we're going through right now. I'd like to understand some of the, I don't know, I guess the dominant traits or characteristics of the two major cycles that we are experiencing. What are some of the more dominant traits of the Piscean age?
Well, the Piscean age, that, you know, these ages last about 2160 years. It's a 26,000 year cycle. So, you know, we're doing, this is a major shift. I'd say the major bottom line from Pisces is that it's water. And Aquarius is an air sign. So we're moving from water to air. Now, if we look at Pisces a little more, you know, deeply, it is the archetype, okay, of the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The infinite all that is. So I don't even look at it as a water sign. I look at Pisces as more ether. It's not even, it doesn't even have any substance, man. It's out there. It is the Buddhists refer to it as the void. You know, that void is out of which all manifest creation emerges. So it's the 12th sign of the zodiac. It's the, you know, this Alpha and the Omega says that, you know, it's really got this infinite quality to it. And so this age has really been about tapping into, you know, that spirituality has been really a powerful dominating force in shaping human consciousness. Religion has been really big.
Right.
And, you know, it has been about faith in the unseen worlds, you know, trust. It's been about salvation. It's been about, you know, and you would go off. This is the other aspect of Pisces, is it's you would go off into the ashram or the monastery or the mountaintop or the cave or the secret societies. You know, Pisces and water is about, you know, these, it's kind of hidden. So it's like this secret information that's only been available to the select few that have removed themselves from society or from normal living conditions and kind of isolated themselves and renunciated the world. So there's been this great division between spirit and matter. Because in order to be spiritual, you have to kind of renunciate, you know, and give up your sex and your body and your animal nature in order to transcend. So there's been this kind of, you know, overall, you know, evolution, you know, through, you know, these types of activities, and we have kind of found ourselves, you know, growing in awareness, you know, through different religions and institutions and practices, you know, that have opened up, if you think of your body in medical astrology or whatever, you know, the Pisces is the crown chakra. And so it has been this kind of opening of this crown chakra that is very, you know, you've had a lot of mystics and a lot of avatars, and, you know, you got Buddha and Christ and all these people in there that have really, you know, opened, you know, the caveman mentality into that, you know, there's something out there, or there's something beyond, or there's something more than just, you know, hunting, fishing, eating, and screwing. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
So now we've been opened up, and that's kind of, you know what that Pisces is about.
So now we have the empty cup or the open cup, and Aquarius is pouring its water into it.
That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, you know, I mean, Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, which is associated with the third eye or the sixth chakra. So in a way, we're taking that etheric, you know, your psychics and your clairvoyance and your, you know, the oracles at Delphi, you know, and all of these, you know, ancient, you know, ways of seeing. And we're bringing that much more down into intelligence, you know, innovative, inventiveness, technology, and opening it up much more. So if you think of air, the air signs, of course, I don't even see Aquarius as an air sign. I see Aquarius as outer space. Because Aquarius and Uranus have to, in my sense, I associate them with extraterrestrials and, you know, super, super genius intelligence.
Right.
But it's of a very intellectual nature. Yeah. So it's much, if anyway, I see like Aquarius, I just did this in the Pele report today, you know, Aquarius is science. And Pisces is religion. And we're really moving from a place of faith and a place of religion and a place of belief, you know, into a place of being co-creators, you know. Like, guess what, folks? You know, we are, you know, I mean, there's nobody out there, okay, that's going to save us. We need to create a society. We need to create a reality, you know, with our own, you know, internal connection to the infinite. So this is a much more kind of, in some ways, I'd say, you know, it's kind of going from a vertical, you know, reaching up and out into much more of a horizontal, where it's going to be communities and groups and humanity itself that creates, you know, a new future for ourselves. So we're needing to tap into our own God self, you know, or our own creative capacity, and manifest it in a much more clear, you know, scientific, responsible, you know, in some ways.
Right.
I think it was even being like more, you know, more responsible, because we're not going to get saved.
Right. I think we're really starting to understand on a massive scale how this all works, how your intention and your walking down a street, how it affects the things around you. And it's becoming there's so many people out in the scientific arena that have jumped out of the box and are really starting to apply their knowledge and their experience to coming up with explanations for how this stuff works, how, you know, cause and effect things. I mean, things like Dr. Emoto and the water crystal stuff. I'm sure you're familiar with that, the cymatic stuff. It's becoming very apparent in the world now, and with the internet, oh my God, I mean, everything's at your fingertips now, and we're getting proof of what's been taught by those avatars you talked about. We're getting proof that this stuff is real and all of us can do it.
Right, exactly. And it's only going to, over the next couple thousand years, science and technology are, I mean, it's not going to be what we consider science and technology now. I mean, we're already, it's exponential, you know. I mean, we're blowing the doors wide open here with, you know, with the way that we are penetrating the natural laws governing the universe is just, you know, we're at the, I think we're at the starting gate, you know,
yeah.
Really, you know, penetrating, you know, gravity and relativity. And I mean, it's just, you know, how it all works. It's going to become so much more clear, and it's going to give us so much more power, you know, that we better grow up.
Right, exactly.
So we're gonna totally screw ourselves.
Exactly. With that power comes a responsibility, right?
Exactly, man. That's, you know, and that's somewhere where we need to get the social dynamics and the relationships and you know, get our emotional lower chakras in alignment and you know, get our shit together, or we're gonna destroy ourselves, you know.
Yeah, one, I can't remember if it was you, Tom, who said this, or somebody else, that the Aquarian symbol, it's not that she's bearing water, but it's more etheric energy that she's bearing.
I did not say that, but I totally relate to that, you know? I mean, if you think of it, you know, water as the source of life, you know, it's that she's, you know, pouring out life energy, which is understanding and, yeah, chi, you know,
yeah,
the life force is what is being poured out there. So.
So, oh, go ahead, Tom.
Okay, well, let's, might as well jump into what's, actually, no, let's step back a second here, Tom. I'm talking to myself, by the way.
oh, that's nice.
I do the same thing, Tom.
Yeah. when, now, the natal chart. Okay, everybody, when everybody comes in here, they're kind of imprinted in some form or fashion by the way things are from where they are. I don't really quite fully understand this whole process. I mean, I'm sure you've contemplated what is the actual, what happens at that point? What happens at birth? Do you feel it's something that's, like a magnetic or some, what's the energy there you see working?
Well, what my sense is that, number one, we are infinite spiritual beings having an earthly experience, and we've reincarnated over and over and over again on this frickin' planet.
Right.
So, you know, we're dipping down into these bodies, and that as infinite spiritual beings, we choose the time, date, place, parents, society, religion, imprinting. You know, it's basically we choose this whole situation condition to reflect and to give us all of the conscious tools necessary, desired, in order for us to fulfill a particular purpose in that incarnation.
Right.
So what, you know, the way that it boils down is that when they cut that umbilical cord, you know, my sense is that, and this is also gained from a branch of astrology called horary astrology. And in horary astrology, which I have practiced, you ask a question. And the astrologer draws up a chart for the moment that you ask the question. And the answer to that question is in the chart. And this has been used since antiquity, right, to find lost articles and to, you know, locate lost people and this, that, and the other thing. It's actually quite mundane, right. You know. But the idea behind it is that at any given moment, the energy that is there, you know, if there is a, and the way I interpret it is, every moment there is a need. And we incarnate to fill a need or a vacuum. Nature wants some, you know, some energy, some person, some spirit to fill this particular need that exists on the planet. And that is reflected in the cosmos, in the planet. In the planetary alignments and in the astrology birth chart. So it's really not so much in my mind a sense of imprinting as so much as reflecting, as synchronicity, as I don't see that the planets or stars are doing anything to anybody. I see that this is all a reflective house of mirrors.
Mm.
And really, if we think of it, that the farther out you go, the deeper it reflects inward. The planets and the stars are as far out as we can see. So they reflect back to us the most unconscious, hidden elements within our makeup. Like, you know, the macrocosm mirrors the microcosm.
Right.
So like the farther out you go, then it's going to reflect the deeper, farther in that you go. So that's my take on it. That's my, you know.
Hmm. I like that. I like that.
Speaking of far out, here's a bit of a far out question. If I, for example, was to move to, let's say, either Venus or Mars or any other planet, would that have a huge effect on my chart, or it would be pretty much the same?
No, totally. It would be totally different. Totally different.
Okay. So, Tom and Tom, you guys want to jump in to see what's happening 2012? I guess we can start with what we... Did this New Year's have any meaning, or even a little further back, start with October 28th? Was there any importance there?
Well, if I go back to the eclipse. There was a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse, November 25th, and then a couple of weeks later in December. Yeah.
Right.
And those eclipses. And, you know, and then, of course, there is the winter solstice that that occurred on December 21st. So those are the astrological markers that are used a lot more by astrologers than the actual January 1st, 12 o'clock midnight. Though, I mean, you can draw a chart for that time. In fact, I have a chart for that time that I could actually look at right now.
So was there anything really spectacular? I mean, I think Ramon was trying to tie this into the Kalaman and Barban Clow's prediction for that October 28th was the end of the Mayan calendar, the actual end of the Mayan calendar. I think he was trying to see if there was anything of significance that happened in those periods that would have been reflected in the stars.
Thank you.
You know, I didn't really, I didn't really find that much going on.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I was over in India celebrating 11/11/11.
Oh, nice.
which Yogi Bhajan, you know, said was the birth of the age of Aquarius before he died. So, you know, but what I'm, so much happens, it's like a trickle-down effect, okay? You've got, especially in Kundalini Yoga, you've got 10 bodies. So we have, a subtle body, astral body, etheric body, mental body, emotional body, physical body. We have all these different bodies. And so when these events occur that the Mayans are referring to, and the astrologers and the yogis and all these different events that are happening, they're not always directly connected to earthly, physical, third dimensional material changes.
Right.
So I could, even though I didn't see a lot of lineups and things like that happening, in October 28th, I'm going to say that I do feel that the gates have opened, that the water is pouring out of the Aquarian pitcher, mm-hmm. and maybe it hasn't quite hit us yet all the way down here on Earth, but there is an awakening. There is a sense. There is a feeling that is growing stronger. It's like if you're surfing, you're out there and you see the wave coming. So we could say that the end has already begun, and it is just like you throw a rock in a pond and those circles all extend out in different direction simultaneously. It's the wave is coming towards us from that initial change point. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right, right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What I wanted to ask as well was with these new energies that are coming in, is there... Okay, here's a better question. And I don't know if it would make sense in the astrology sense, but is there anything in your... I might be jumping ahead of myself. Is there anything in your astrological charts that shows us having any, physical changes? Like, some people think that there's the idea that we're changing into Homo Illuminus. Is there anything that you've seen in your charts?
I see a lot of different things in the charts. And part of what I see is that individual human experiences are going to be diverging and expanding into multiple realities or multiple dimensions, such that there are going to be some humans who stay within the third dimensional realm and go on existing in somewhat of a similar fashion, similar way that things have been existing here. And there will be other experiences available to those who are seeking, who are wanting, who have evolved far enough or long enough or deep enough into their luminous bodies to awaken to other dimensions, other potentials, and other forms of existence. So it's, if you get what I'm saying, it's not like everything is going to be happening to everybody around here anymore. This is really kind of the biggest shift that we can be talking about. You did kind of jump in there, Ramon.
Right.
Mm. it's basically breaking up, where we're not having the shared reality that we have shared for so long.
Mm. That almost sounds like a chaotic period ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the other part of his question, okay, is, you know, can you see that in the charts? You know, there's going to be some astrologers who would, you know, take what I just said and go, that guy is way the frickin' far out there. And there's nothing in the charts that says that, you know? And then there's going to be other astrologers that will agree with me, and they're going to look at the different planets and the different aspects in a different way. They're going to include other points, like the galactic center. We're going to be looking at cycles that, you know, that look at the galactic center, that use other, asteroids and different points in the charts that, you know, there's just all kinds of different astrological tools available for different research.
So, have you looked at Ophiuchus?
No, I have not.
Yeah, that's one that I hope nobody tries to quote me here, but it's between Scorpio and Sagittarius. Is that correct?
I think you're right. Libra. Yeah.
From what I understand, at some point, somewhere, somehow, it was used. It was a 13 constellation astrological chart. Now, I could be completely off, but this may be something I just heard in passing somewhere. But
I am a little familiar with that. If it's the 13th sign.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that actually comes a little bit from a scientific realm that is kind of rears its head every 10 years or so and tries to bash, tropical astrology.
Oh.
it's based on the sidereal zodiac that is used by a large, in fact, the greater majority of astrology on Earth is done with the sidereal system. But even in that sidereal system, it's still divided by 12. But yeah, this scientist came out and laid out this thing on Facebook and on YouTube and this, that, and the other thing, and got a whole stir going. And I got all kinds of, calls and emails. You know, my sign has changed. Oh my God, what's this? And da 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 da. I mean, there's a lot of energy out there that wants to debunk astrology, and they don't stop.
Yeah, from what I've seen in the little research that I have done on astrology, those guys that are the serious, the people who are, genuine, and they go into it with an open mind and try to debunk something, say, well, I don't really believe this very much, so for me to really say this is a bunch of crap, I'm going to have to learn about it to be able to do that, and they end up becoming astrologers.
Yeah, there's been a couple of, historical, the Gogolins, he was a statistician, that tried to debunk it and became an astrologer. But yeah, the main thing is they don't even necessarily have to study it, research it, and spend years trying to prove it as much as just get a reading.
Right.
I mean, all they have to do is go to an astrologer, give them their time, date, and place of birth, ask them a bunch of questions, and get a reading. And like I mean, it's just like everybody who comes to me for a reading, right? They walk away not caring what any scientist has to say. They just had a personal experience of truth.
Right.
And we have a internal indicator, our intuition, our gut, really shares with us, tells us, we know what, when we're exposed to truth.
Right.
So
that ring of truth.
Yeah.
So, let me see. How are we doing with time?
So, oh, we got 20 minutes, so, or okay. 18 minutes, something like that. So, what have we got looking forward to this year? If you give us a quick rundown of what things are shaping up to be like for this year.
A quick rundown.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a quick rundown. I would say start off now and then we'll finish on the other half.
Yeah, let's start now and then how about the rest of this month? What's the rest of this month look like for what your charts are saying, the types of things are coming up for, you know, humanity?
The rest of this month, you know, let me just pull up this chart here once. What's really the main thing is that where the sun is in the sign of Capricorn, okay, the moon goes around once a month, like the second hand of a clock, and triggers everything off. So we can just, you know, kind of see the moon moving through there. And then we look at Venus and Mars and Mercury. Those are the three fastest moving planets. So they kind of indicate the more short term, short run of things. And so what we've got going for the rest of this month is basically that the sun is still in the sign of Capricorn, and it's Capricorn is about business. You know, it's about material, financial, physical security. It's about our duties, our responsibilities, our jobs, our careers, our vocations, our reputations. It's how the world sees us. So, you know, this is a serious time. It's ruled by the planet Saturn, you know, which has to do with the Lord of Karma and time and space. And with every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. I mean, it's very third dimensional. And then Mercury comes up, and actually by Friday, Mercury conjoins with Pluto, which is in Capricorn. So this is, you know, this is actually a very intense week. That is very, you know, people are, you know, there can be changes in the financial markets. There can be changes in the real estate market. There can be new announcements coming from the government and external authorities that kind of throw some curveballs. There can be the exposure of hidden lies or betrayals or untruths or things that have been buried for long, long periods of time coming to the surface. This is the kind of stuff that's going on this month. It's kind of setting the tone for this year being a huge year of radical shifting and radical changing with external authorities, governmental institutions, people that we've kind of depended upon or relied upon to take care of us in the past. It's the breakdown, you know, the falling away, the breaking up of a lot of these structures that have given us a sense of stability and security, and they're on their way out. Yeah. So, you know, January kind of comes in with this, you know, a little bit of a bang. And I think over the next couple of weeks, we're going to get, you know, some unsettling news.
That's just turn on the TV. I mean, not that I watch TV, but, yeah, there's always unsettling news if you turn that thing on. You know, I don't quite understand all the shadows that you know the powers that wish they were can continue to throw at us, you know, from all different arenas. You know, the shadow fears that they're trying to. I don't understand why they would try to scare humanity like that. You know, keep us in fear.
That's exactly how they control us. You know, that's the huge mechanism. I mean, the thing that I got in the past was basically that the Cold War was to be us afraid of Russia, Russia afraid of us, and everybody tipping around on, you know, eggshells. And then after the, you know, the wall went down and the Russia fell down, then they had to come up with terrorism. let's make everybody afraid of terrorists. And after everybody gets sick and tired of the terrorism thing, it's going to be extraterrestrials.
Right.
Let's make everybody afraid of extraterrestrials. Because as long as the major population is in fear, then they need a government. They need bombs. They need defenses. They need, you know, Big Brother. So it's actually creating, you know, this insecurity that then makes people easier to manipulate, exploit, and control.
So if things are set up for this year to be a great year of the unveiling or the exposing of those things that have been hidden, then maybe we can see a little bit of the fear slipping off to the side.
Oh, go ahead, Tom.
Well, it's a process. I mean, we have to get into a little bit more of a longer term thing here, because Pluto is the representative or the archetype of death and resurrection. And death, demolition, annihilation, Shiva, whatever energy, Kali, Durga, you want to call it. It is the death force. And in astrology, there is no death. Okay, there's just the transition from one state of existence into another. So this Plutonian force is basically the force of evolution that takes one form, demolishes it, annihilates it, destroys it, that it then completely transforms into a new manifestation. So this Pluto went into the sign of Capricorn in 2008, and it's going to stay there until 2024. And Capricorn is that sign that has to do with authority. External authority, governments, societies, okay, the way that we structure and form our given reality, the laws of time and space, man-made laws, I should say. So Capricorn is man-made laws, institutions and governments and individuals and corporations that uphold, create, maintain, and proliferate more of those freaking laws. So this is basically, you know, it is a 16-year period of time of annihilating, demolishing, and then resurrecting, reforming new institutions, new systems of financing, new religious institutions, new authorities, basically. It's a changing of the guard. Who, you know, the people that we used to trust, that we used to rely on, that we used to give our power to, that we used to believe because they had a bunch of money or letters after their name or fancy cars or, you know, good blood or something. This is no longer the case. And these people are, and these institutions are getting threatened. They're getting basically wiped out, and they know that this is coming. They see it coming. They know it's happening. And the degree of resistance creates the degree of pain and the amount of suffering and how long of the time period takes before the new structures can be instituted. So we have a given time frame here that by 2024, when Pluto leaves Capricorn, there is going to be a whole new world, global society, or, you know, institutions that support communities and individuals in a much different way than they have prior to this time.
That I hadn't quite heard it quite that way. As far as I didn't know that Pluto had gone into, you know, I hadn't followed astrology. I'd off and on through the years, but I wasn't aware that Pluto went into Capricorn in 2008, and I see a huge correlation between 2008 and the people that that woke up and began their wake up process in 2008. It's just a tremendous amount of people that just all of a sudden woke up one day and went, whoa, something's not right here, something's going on. And the personal growth on that level, that year in particular was a huge wave of people that got the call, so to say.
Right.
So that's a amazing validation for me for, you know, the properties of astrology and how they interact with us.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Tom, what do you do you see somewhat similar for the month of February, or?
Well, then the month of February, the sun goes the bad news is that, you know, our calendar doesn't really do very good with when the sun changes signs around the 21st of the month instead of at the, you know, instead of at the beginning of the month. But we see the majority of February. The sun actually goes into Aquarius, okay, what I'm talking about, you know, January 21st, January 22nd. The sun goes into Aquarius for a month. And it comes out of this Capricorn, it moves into Aquarius, and we see there's a lightening up, right? Capricorn is an earth sign, and it's about business, and it's about practicality, and it's about security and stability, and there's, you know, conservation efforts at maintaining what I've got and this, that, and the other thing. And then there is the movement towards Aquarius. And as the sun moves into Aquarius, the thing is that Pisces is in, Venus goes into Pisces, Mercury takes a little while. I mean, I don't want to just rely, I don't do sun sign astrology.
Right.
There's a lot more involved with this, but if you guys are going month by month, I'm going to try to contain this in little pieces rather than, you know, give this overall view. But so the movement towards Aquarius is a movement towards ingenious solving of problems with the use of technology, with the use of communication, with the use of networking, with the use of our brains and thinking and uniting together. So the way that I see February emerging is that there's, and what's going to be going on through this whole year and through the few years to come, especially as we move into this sign of Aquarius, this age of Aquarius, that has so much to do with that it's going to be small groups of people. There's going to be, and you can already see it happening, there's people that go, you know, it's just too expensive to live alone. I'm looking for my tribe. I'm looking for my community. I'm looking for my people. I want to share the land, share the garden, share the laundry, share the kitchen, share the electric bills or whatever, share the cars. We are moving much more away from kind of this centralized governmental system that is national and international into more grassroots movements of self-sustaining communities of people. And there's migrations happening, there's people moving left and right all over the place. So February is really this time where people are going to be, and Aquarius is about this time of envisioning a new purpose, a new way that requires liberating myself, breaking free, quitting my job, leaving my spouse. Aquarius is about liberation and freedom from the known. So February is this time, you know, whereas January is, okay, I'm going to do everything I can to put my finger in the dike and I'm going to try to patch up the hole in my ship. By February, it's like, you know what? It's not working. get a lifeboat, or you know, pull your finger out of the dike and just get the hell out of there. So there's going to be more, I think, a lightening up and escape routes and people envisioning and imagining and creating alternative ways of working with and surviving and getting along. There's going to be more and more variety of ideas bounced around for solutions to our problems through that month of February.
Mm.
It becomes more erratic, more unpredictable. You know, air changes really rapidly and quickly as compared to Earth.
Right.
Yeah.
So February, things begin to speed up even more than they already are.
Yeah. So, okay, well, we're about to wrap up the hour here. Tom, if you would share where people can check your material out, your website, and how they can contact you.
Oh, yeah. www.newparadigmastrology.com. And that is paradigm spelled P-A-R-A-D-I-G-M. You know, it's like the new paradigm.
Right. Oh, jeez.
And then on Facebook, I'm just Tom Lesher, L-E-S-C-H-E-R. And I do a weekly YouTube. So you can subscribe to me through on my website, and I will email my weekly forecast to you. Or you can subscribe to me on YouTube at Tom Lesher, T-O-M-L-E-S-C-H-E-R. And I do this little 15-minute, you know, this is what's happening this week. A lot of people like it. And then I put that up on Facebook, and I put it on my website. And then, of course, I do readings and workshops and all that. But all that stuff's on my website.
Yeah.
And we have links to that on our website.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So, okay, well, everybody hang around and listen to Brooks Agnew coming up next, and then pop on over to the website, and we will talk to Tom for another hour. This is I'm just totally fascinated with this stuff. It's just, like I said, I've got a new passion for it here recently since, well, I had a lot of changes happen in my life here in the last year or so. But this is becoming a big part of it. So, all right.
Okay,
well,
we should talk about your chart when we come back, Tom.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Didn't know if it'd be right to go there, but that would be so awesome.
You didn't.
Okay.
That's right. Funny.
Well, if you want to hear about what is going on in my life, tune into the second hour. All right. Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
The love you deny is the pain you carry.
And we love you guys.
Have a good night.
Outcry for people who want a better planet, and there are powers that be that let their people panic. Look at the Gulf of Japan, could they have really planned it? Heading for the iceberg like the Titanic.
Atlantic mystery, Atlantis wife of history, the truth about the pyramids and ancient Mayan prophecy.
Space Odyssey, look into the anomalies, and you will find suppression of free energy technology.
A false democracy born out of a monopoly, sacred knowledge robbery like the towers they toppling.
No stopping free.
Jay Brain, Lido C.
Coming from the enemy.
Free energy.
The oil's running dry.
Our money's burning out.
Solar panels on the roof of the White House.
Hey!
We bringing on some real change.
Water catchment system.
We collecting rain.
Time to gather round. The moment's now. I want it all.